Morning.
If I look like I was laboring a bit to get up here, your observation is accurate. I took the COVID shot yesterday. For the most part, I was good all day yesterday, and then at sundown, it just seemed like everything changed. My whole body is aching. I didn't have a good sleep last night at all. The strange thing is that myself and Sister Paula took it together, and she seems quite normal. She seemed to have more energy. You know, I'm wondering if she got a placebo and I got the real thing. Someone has rightly said, I think, that God knew why he didn't give man childbearing responsibility, because he can't take the pain. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Just want to read one verse. Verse 15. The story, I think, you know quite well. This is the story of a demon-possessed man. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the story. If you don't know it, then I would urge you to read it to understand all the circumstances surrounding what we're going to touch on this morning. Verse 15 says, then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. This almost same verse could be found in Luke chapter 8 and verse 35. Same story. Luke records it. But we'll just stick to match Mark's version. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, look, all things have become new. The story of this man is a very interesting story, and you can look at it from the standpoint of the story to see what happened to this man or gloss over it. But if you take the time to not just look at the story, but look in the story and see what happened to this man, it seems to tell quite a story, just a story beyond him being healed by Jesus. I want to bring to your attention this story is a collection of stories that began in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, of course, we read of the disciples, experienced men, fishermen. They were there in the boat, and the waves came up, and they were facing that. These were experienced men, but they couldn't handle the situation as it unfolded. The winds were so strong. And Jesus came on the scene and made the difference. Jesus was awakened and he made the difference. Mark obviously is painting a picture because he tells the story now of this man who was demon possessed. And then he goes on to tell us of a woman who had an issue of blood for many years, spent all that she had, and she got no better. And mind you,
When he healed her, Jesus was on his way to raising a young woman who was dead. And he was interrupted by her. But in all the situations, all the stories that Mark tells us about, it shows that these were all impossible situations to man. Yet there was someone who could make a difference in those situations. And I think we ought to capture that. It's tremendously important. Mark was clearly painting, when you look at this, these stories are from a panoramic view of one after the other. I believe he was trying to paint a picture, making it clear to his readers that Jesus is a difference maker. Jesus is one who possesses the power to change lives, to change circumstances in one's life. And so today, if you are hopeless, if like this woman, you have tried all that you had, you could have tried, you spent all your money and you gave up and you didn't turn to Jesus, try him. Try Jesus. Jesus is a difference maker. The other observation, now, which is what I want to zero in, as time permits, about this story, particularly about the possessed man, is Mark seemed to be telling us, but this is one of the impressions I got, that being changed by Jesus, being converted, is not just an intellectual thing. And it's a very serious situation. It's not just an intellectual thing. You know, as Christians, we read our Bible, we become more knowledgeable in the things of God. But then we stay on the intellectual side when Christianity is more about the spiritual side. God is more concerned about our spiritual growth, about our bearing fruits. It's not just about being saved. It's not just about being delivered. This man was delivered. And the story clearly paints the transformation that came in his life after he was touched by Jesus, and what unfolded afterwards. I want to show you, first of all, after Jesus had gotten rid of the demons in this man's life, the Bible tells us over 2,000 legions in his life. This man had a new attitude. A new attitude. When Christ comes into our life, we cannot be the same person that we used to be. We cannot be that same old person. Reading the story, it tells us how this man would go to the tombs at night. He would take rocks and cut his hand. They tried to tame him by tying him down with chains. But he was so demon-possessed that he was able to break those chains. No one could tame him. He could not tame himself, nor could those around him. But when Jesus came into his life and changed him, he had a completely new attitude. He was a different man. How has Christ changed you since you came to know him? Are you the same old person, or has Jesus really made a difference in your life? Has your attitude changed? The Bible tells us that this man was sitting and resting, which is in direct contrast to his roaming and wandering about the tombs and mountains and wilderness, day and night. Verse 15, I like how verse 15 puts it. He was sitting instead of roaming. He was clothed instead of being naked. And he was now in his right mind. The emphasis here, we cannot escape. This is transformation. He was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Those situations, those three situations, are in contrast to the way he was before he met Jesus. How has Jesus changed you? Are you sitting? Are you clothed? Are you the same old person that you used to be? Or is it a fact that because Christ has come into your life, that you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you are indeed a new creation? Christ says in Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. This was a restless man. This was an uncontrollable man. This was a man who wouldn't keep clothes on his body. This was a man who chains could not keep him down. But the moment Jesus came into his life, everything changed about this man. Everything changed about this man. Has Christ changed us? And we need to look at that. We need to look introspectively into our hearts and ask ourselves the question, has Christ changed us? How have we demonstrated the transformation that Christ has wrought in our hearts, in our lives? It's a very important question. It's not just an intellectual thing. The fruits of the Spirit must be demonstrated in our lives. Must be demonstrated in our lives. And again, I'm going through quickly because I don't want to keep you longer than is necessary, nor do I want to faint here this morning. The second observation I want to bring to your attention is, before the exorcism, the possessed man wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And people who don't know Christ as Savior, you know, many of them are like that. Don't tell them about God. Don't tell them to come to church. They want nothing to do with him. Nothing. As a matter of fact, when Jesus went to this man or met up with this man in verse 6, he says, I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Essentially, he was saying, get away from me, Jesus. I want nothing to do with you. After his transformation, as we'll see later on, the delivered man wanted to go with Jesus. Transformation. From an attitude of not wanting anything to do with God, or God having anything to do with him, which is silly, by the way, because God is there whether we recognize him or not. He's always there. So don't say, I want nothing to do with God. I want God to have nothing to do with me. God is always there. The problem is not on God's side. The problem is not an absentee God. God is always there. Now this man was begging Jesus to be with him. The third thing I want you to notice with me is that before the deliverance, as I mentioned before, he wore no clothes. It's not just about the clothes that he did not wear, that he was patrolling in tombs naked. What that shows, what that tells us a person outside of Christ really doesn't have control of their lives. They're being influenced by the devil and don't even know it. It was no big deal for him to walk around naked. It meant nothing to him. They're people without a conscience because they know not God. They can hurt their fellow man because they know not God. Every time, every day we put on the television, it's a murder. Somebody just shoots somebody for no reason at all. God is absent in their lives. They're different. They're controlled by the devil. These people need Jesus. Because Jesus is a life changer. It's no different than being naked. They're acting as though they're naked. Their minds are corrupt. Things that would be obstinate to me and you, these guys do as though it means nothing. What's the big deal about me shooting a man and killing him? And go to prison for it. Big deal. And go back to the boys and boast. That's a demon-possessed mind. When they come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, their minds are going to be fully clothed. Their minds are naked, as it were. Empty. Demon-driven, demon-influenced. Not understanding right from wrong. Jesus puts our lives in perspective. Yes, when we come to know Jesus Christ, we should constantly ask ourselves and demonstrate it that Jesus has made a difference in my life. I just don't want to tell people, oh, I accept Jesus Christ. There was a crusade at Good Tidings. And I went up and I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Now I'm saved. Nice, nice, nice. Now what? Now that you're saved? That's the question. As far as Jesus is concerned, and what I'm getting here is that yes, there's an intellectual side, but the spiritual side, the spiritual transformation must take place. We must see spiritual growth in our lives. Our attitude must change. If I used to curse, I curse no more because of Jesus. I must respect my fellow brothers and sisters. I must talk to them like I respect them as brothers and sisters in Christ. I am a different person. Christ changed me. Don't tell me you're saved. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The next thing I see you walking down the street with your pants under your butt. I have a problem with that. You remember Jesus when he took the saliva in a man's eyes and he asked him, what did you see? He said, I see men like trees. It was blurred. And Jesus did it again. And then he could see clearly. Some people need a second touch. Sitting, clothed in his right mind. If any man be in Christ, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's not our belief merely. This is the word of God. Christ said, you are reborn, you're born again, you're a different person, you should be. And we need to apply that to our lives. We need to act accordingly. We need to see the evidence. We need to show, rather, the evidence of our rebirth by our activities, by our involvement, by the things we do. Once I was blind, but now I can see. You are no more blind. Christ has given you your sight.
Next thing I want to bring to your attention is that after he was converted and regained his sanity and decided to follow Jesus, there is a thought that comes to mind as to why it's necessary to follow the things of Christ. And Christ alluded to it in Luke chapter 11 and verse 24 and 25. Christ says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man or woman, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. That is a, we need to emphasize this a little bit, because I believe it's the core reason why we have so many black backsliding. The devil is not done with you after you accept Christ as Savior. He is taking a beeline and coming back to see if you really mean it. That's what Jesus says. That is why it's important to follow Christ, not physically, as we'll see later on, but to follow the teachings of Christ, to read the Word of God, to pray earnestly. Don't just go through the motion and again become intellectual, make do memory verses, and you know, you can recite all these Bible verses. I heard a man said something once and I never forgot it. He said, it is better for you to know one verse of the Bible and live that verse out than for you to know the entire Bible from your memory and do nothing about it. Your life does not reflect it one bit. Stick to that one verse and be like Christ. Let the evidence of your conversion be demonstrated to your church, to your family, everyone. And we're not going to be perfect overnight, but we have to challenge ourselves to grow spiritually, that we might produce the fruits of the Spirit, that we might be used by God as He sees fit. Jesus says He goes through dry places seeking rest, because remember, He doesn't have a home now. He's kicked out of the heart that He was occupying. And finding none, He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And it says, when He comes, He finds it swept and put in order. In other words, if you don't fill that vacuum with the things of Christ, He, that spirit, that evil spirit, that devilish spirit, is coming back, and He is going to be more comfortable in your heart than ever before. When the devil is out of your heart, keep him out. When the devil gets out of your heart, lock your heart's door and all. It's a one-way street now. Only Jesus must come in. Because the Bible tells us that the devil is hanging around. The devil, the spirit of the devil is hanging around. He is looking for an opportunity to get back in. And that is why we need to follow. And that is why as a church we need to have programs for new converts. Makes no sense having 10 people saved here every Sunday morning and then we don't see them afterwards. We have to find programs. We have to come up with strategies to help those people to lock their heart's door to the devil,
so that he won't make that beeline and come back in. Because Jesus is saying that's what he wants to do. He ain't going no places. He is hanging around. He is hanging around.
When we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, we have to have a determined spirit to be useful to God. We cannot allow ourselves to be like, or say the things that Flip Wilson would say, "The devil made me do it." Easy excuse. But Christ is telling us here that we ought to make sure that evil spirit does not return us. We should not be robing anymore, we should be sitting. We should not be naked anymore, we should be clothed. We should not have evil minds anymore, we should be in our right minds. Our right minds. God is saying here that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you are not in your right mind. That's not my opinion. That's the Word of God. In your right mind. I'm going to close off. But I hope that what you're seeing here is the difference Jesus makes and how we have a responsibility. Jesus changes. Jesus has the power to transform us. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to read his word, to stay in fellowship with him, to do the things that are desirous, the things that would bring spiritual growth in our lives. If the people we hang out with before are not Christians, when you become a Christian, you can't go hang with those people anymore because they're going to pull you away. They're going to help you open up that door for the devil to come right back in. Your associates should be a new group of people whose desire it is to please Jesus. Now, this man, after the whole city was mad because their livelihood was the raising of the pigs, and the demons had gone to the pigs and they had all died. Jesus had them run down to the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they drowned. People were crying out for their livelihood, and they asked him to leave town, chase him out of town. Jesus was now going in a boat to leave them. "You don't want me? I'm gone." This man, who Jesus delivered, came to Jesus and asked him if he can follow him. And Jesus said this to him. And when from verse 18, "And when he," Jesus, "got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you.' And he departed," and he departed. He listened to Jesus. "He departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." Don't miss this point. Decapolis is a collection of 10 cities. That's what it means. And this man would have been known to these people as the madman who deals in the tomb. The naked madman who was hanging out in the tombs.
who would break chains. They knew about him. May not have met him, but his reputation was all over in Decapolis, those 10 cities. And instead of him just walking around with Jesus, just looking on at the many miracles Jesus was doing, Jesus said, my brother, you can be more useful. I want you to go to Decapolis, those 10 cities, and tell them what I have done for you. They knew this man before. Now Jesus Christ had wanted them to see the transformation that had taken place in his life. And in them seeing how Jesus could change this man from a runaround tomb guy who wouldn't even wear clothes to a man who was now in his right mind, Jesus knew that that would make the biggest impression in all those who heard and saw him. In other words, if he had followed Jesus, he merely would have been a spectator. Jesus doesn't want spectators. He wants folks who are active in his service. And by him following Jesus and seeing all the miracles and just being impressed with the things Jesus did, that would have been nice. And a lot of people are filled with that today. They go to church and somebody sang a song and they get carried away. How about your life? What are you doing for Jesus? Where is your Decapolis? How are you ministering the transformation that God has done in your life? That is what Jesus wanted to convey to him. And something tells me that is exactly what Jesus wants to convey to us also. That we should not be in the pavilion as mere spectators, but that we should be participants in the actions that God's name would be uplifted and praised. Jesus is saying that will make more of an impression. That will make a difference more than you just being a spectator, just sitting under your pews and keeping a lot of noise. Get something going. Do something. And what I have seen throughout God's word, and I've seen it demonstrated in life also, those people who have a desire to do something for God, God opens up opportunities for them to do so. But if your desire is just to be a spectator, then a spectator you shall be. But if your desire is to be used for the purposes of God and godliness, God will open the doors for you. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, Jesus, as is demonstrated here in Mark chapter 4, 5, 6, Jesus is a life changer. Don't miss that. He changes things, things that seemingly are impossible. Jesus can make the difference. And of course, once you become saved, Jesus wants you to demonstrate to your friends, as he told this man, to your family, to all those who knew what you were, Jesus wants you to demonstrate what you have become. So if you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let's pray this simple prayer to God. Father, thank you for dying for even me. Thank you for caring for even me. I long to have Jesus Christ, your Son, as my Savior. Save me, dear Lord. Wash me in his blood and help me to be a follower of thy Son. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you have sincerely prayed that prayer, our brother's going to give you the announcements concerning where you can contact us. You need spiritual help. We'll be so glad to help you. God can
can make the difference in your life. God bless.
We thank our brother for the gospel.